coming to you live from my apartment. It's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who's so excited to recap an excellent episode tonight of Bachelor in Paradise. Zing! I'm Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast. Very excited tonight. We got a great show for you here after an episode of Big Brother 21. We got a great guest here with us to talk about it. You saw him very recently in the Big Brother 21 house, and here he is to talk about everything going on. Please welcome back to the podcast, the great Sam Smith. Sam, how are you?
I'm good, buddy. How are you?
Very excited to have you here with us, Sam. I've been looking forward to this one and very excited to have you here live with us to talk about everything that's happening.
Yeah, there's a lot to go over. Let's get going.
Yes, let's get going and get into it. We have also with us tonight the great Brent Wolgamott. Brent, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm so glad that they brought on me, one lucky gay, to discuss all these straight people and their problems, Rob. That is just amazing scheduling that you guys do here at RCP.
Yes. I think we'll be fine. I think we'll be fine. Relationships are relationships, and I think that we'll
That's very true to
break it all down. But first, Sam, how have you been?
I've been good. I've been hanging low. I'm back to work, working the peasant life. And, you know, a little bit of reality coming out of the Big Brother house. You know, it's hard. Hard work being back in the normal reality of life. Living the dream.
Yeah. Sam, we have not gotten one single send it yet here tonight.
All right. Well, I got to be careful because the boys are sleeping. But okay. Really quickly, kind of muffled, kind of not. Send that! There we go.
How difficult is it at your house to, and you put the kids to bed for you to not wake them up with your voice?
Well, all right. So I did the one other Skype, and so far I was really nervous last time, but so far the boys haven't woken up. So yeah, I'm on a good roll right now. So I'm going to keep rolling with it. Let's just see what happens.
So far, so good. I said it on Twitter that, hey, if you've got questions tonight, make sure use the hashtag RHAP when you
send it.
So go ahead, get those questions in for Sam. We'll take them all later on in the show. Okay, and we'll talk some live feeds, get ready for the double eviction tomorrow. So a lot going on. But Sam, tell us tonight, we got to see so much going on with Jackson and Holly and this relationship. Did you miss being there for the trials and tribulations of Jackson and Holly?
I really did, because I'm a drama queen. I said that in my interviews. I love it. I love hearing drama. I like hearing what's going on. I'm all about it. You tell me everything you want to know, because I want to take it all in. I love that stuff. So watching this happen on TV, like I'm watching it and like I turned to Melissa and I was like, I really wish I was in the house. Like, I really want to see this. Like, I'd want to be part of it. Like, don't make me part of your problem, but I want to sit there with the popcorn in the corner and I want to be eating it. Like, go ahead, Mickey, tell Holly how you feel. Oh, Holly, are you crying? Mickey, she's crying. What do you think about, dude. If I was in the house and listened to that, I'd be all about it. So I'm kind of, I kind of feel FOMO, that fear of missing out right now, because I would have loved that stuff going on in the house.
Yeah, they really dominated the episode. It was basically Jackson and Holly, and then we also got the hide and go veto. Now, Brent, what they showed on the episode, they made it seem like that Holly had an idea for a show called Hot Takes with Halls. What sounds like a winner to me.
Oh, yes.
Jackson gave her notes about, hey, don't do that show on Labor Day. Nobody will watch it on a Friday. I don't want to do that show. Sounds stupid. And so then she seemed annoyed about that. That's not what they were totally fighting over, right?
No, most of the things on the episode, I thought they did a pretty good job of showcasing the passive aggressive nature of both of them. And to make no mistake, they both made mistakes in communicating here with each other. The one thing that I really feel like they dropped the ball on was they I it's my opinion after watching the feeds that they let Jackson off easy. That this was even as awful as he was tonight on the show, that he was actually worse on the feeds, and she was sobbing so much more on the feeds that you really didn't get a sense of it on the show tonight. It was sort of like over and done with, quick and easy. Whereas I feel like in the house, it went on for a long time, and I do feel in some ways that they made it seem like that this sort of came out of nowhere, but this is a continuation of what's been happening since the beginning of the game when Sam was in the house, when the diary room. This is what happens when the diary room tells people things that are happening on the outside. They let Jackson know that he was being perceived as anti-woman, or somebody asked him a question that said, other house guests have said that you're anti-women, and he doesn't want people to think that he's that way because he's already had the diary room telling problems about other things that he has said in the house that may have been, in his opinion, taken out of context or may have been perceived in ways that are not politically correct. So he doesn't want people to think that he is an a-hole, which is what they kept bleeping on the show tonight. He wants to make sure that everyone thinks that Jackson's a nice guy. But in doing so, I really feel like he did himself a disservice because he didn't look like a nice guy tonight.
Yeah. Okay. So what was the major malfunction? Like, what was the biggest thing they were fighting about?
Well, I mean, like, obviously the fact that Jackson is so, he doesn't understand his tone and his context in the house. Like, that was really one of the main issues to me was when he says things to Holly, she feels like he's talking down to her and he's condescending, whereas he doesn't really understand that. He just thinks that, well, that's just how I talk. I'm just letting you know. Like, you saw in that conversation where she's like, do you want to talk? And he's like, yeah, let's talk. And then he starts to talk. And like, the minute she starts to respond to him, he's like, well, are you going to let me say what I want to say, or are we going to talk? Are we going to talk or what? What are we going to do? Like, he's just so intense all the time, and he's just an impossible person to communicate with when he's in a mindset like this.
Sam, did you have that kind of difficulty in communicating with Jackson?
All right. So in the show, all right. So in the house, I didn't know things were this rough because to me, Mickey didn't appear like that, but I didn't spend a lot of time around Mickey. So watching back the show, like when I started from episode one and worked my way up, all the way up, and also I was watching it, I turned to life again and I was like, wow, I can see why people don't like Jack and Mickey, because there's a whole different side of them that I never saw.
Yeah.
So like in my book, me coming out, everyone's like, oh, Sam, what do you think about Mickey? What do you think about Jack? Do you support their actions? And I'm like, I don't know, I guess so. But then watching back now, I'm like, geez, hot takes everywhere. And then
hot takes with Halls.
Did you see, huh?
Hot takes with Halls. That's our show.
Oh, definitely. It should be. So did you see last night, I think it was on the feeds, when he was talking about his tiger necklace or whatever? Did you see that whole skit thing or no?
No, I didn't see it.
No.
What was it, Sam?
All right, so
live feed update with Sam.
Oh yeah, update.
I was doing another show. What do you want from me?
Hot take. So this necklace that Mickey gave me when my pop died, you know, he came to me. Yes. He's like, Sam, he's like, I want you to hold this necklace. This means a lot to me. Blah, blah. I want you to have it. And I was like, I was really touched by it. Not that I really had any sentimental value with the necklace. I'm not really into that kind of stuff. But right. I still felt it was a nice gesture from Mickey. Like, hey, all right. Like, thank you, buddy. Like, so I hung it by the little lamp thing. I think there's even feeds when I was telling, like, Bella, like, I don't know what I'm going to do with this necklace because, like, do I wear it? Do I hang it? Like, do I put it around my forehead? I don't know what to do with it. Well, when I went to go get evicted, I went to Mickey and I said, hey, do you want your necklace back? Because I really didn't want it. I'm not going to do anything with it. Like, I'm not into this. And he was like, Sam, he's like, I gave you that necklace. And I'm pretty sure you could go back and find the feeds where I said that. And I'm like, all right, like, you don't want it? And he's like, no, you need to keep it. He goes, I just need my grandmother's ring off of there or something, her wedding band or something. And I was like, all right. So I was like, let's go into the storage room where my suitcase was packed. I opened it up. I was like, here it is, buddy. Take your ring. I was like, you sure you don't want the necklace? He's like, no, it's a gift to you. And I was like, all right, fine. So I brought it on home. Last night in the feed, he's sitting there telling Christy, like, oh, do you know that necklace I gave to Sam to borrow? Do you know he packed that in his suitcase? And Christy's like, oh, what? And he's like, I know. He's like, I didn't really give it to him. I let him borrow it. And here he is packing it away and taking it. And he said this huge thing about how I pretty much stole his necklace. And I'm like, give me a break. So now I'm seeing this other side of Mickey now. So when he was fighting with Holly, like, it's all coming together.
It's all coming together.
Good manipulator. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. Hey, Rob, there's one more thing to keep in mind, too. And when you said something, it made it click in my head. The other thing that they're fighting about is the fact that Holly doesn't like the fact that she's being defined by her showmance, which you saw a little bit in the DRs that were after they started fighting. But she was thinking about that before they started fighting. She doesn't want to be perceived as boring because all the diary room is asking her about is her showmance with Jackson. And she has other things that she thinks are important. Like she was annoyed when she had this song earlier in the week and they didn't show it on the episode. I don't know how she didn't know. She doesn't know.
Ask her about it.
I don't know. The rules are different this year. They're telling the house guests all sorts of things. So the point is that she is mad because she doesn't want to be perceived as boring. So when she's talking about this, like hot takes with Halls or whatever the hell this show was, like this is an effort by her to have something besides Jackson in her storyline. And you can't imagine that Jackson's going to like something like that. He's like, well, what's wrong with being defined by me? I'm a pretty awesome guy. So the other thing to keep in mind. She doesn't want to be defined by Jackson. And she doesn't understand that in reality TV, like this is not an Oscar winning movie with like, you know, subplot after subplot and subtleties and character development. Like this is like from A to B. Are you in a showmance or not? If you're in a showmance, you're definitely going to be asked about your showmance partner. She doesn't seem to get that part.
Yeah. Yep. It's a dumb idea that the house guests, we have this like almost every season. They think, I'll do an interview show. That'll be great on the feeds.
The feeders will love it.
Oh yeah. Oh, they'll definitely use that when I do my talk show. And it's never anything that ends up being Big Brother 19. There was like the stuff like somebody said something. Dominique's show.
Yeah.
But it's never like the actual show is a hit, whether it's on Labor Day or not. But it seemed to me that this seemed like an opportunity, Sam, for Jackson and Holly, that they're a pair. Jackson is like, how could you fight with me in front of the whole house? How could you call me names in front of the whole house? I didn't want to do that in front. Like, isn't that the best thing that they could do? Get into a huge blow up in front of everybody in the house, and maybe Cliff or Christy thinks, maybe there's some cracks there between those two.
Yep. 150%. I actually thought I heard little rumors on the feeds and stuff before that maybe they were going to stage a fight and all this jazz. And I think it kind of overtook into like a real fight, but that could have been the best thing for the game. Cause right now they are so plagued with a target on their back, whether it's Holly winning, whether it's Mickey winning, they are both good at the game. Mickey physical more wise on that side, and Holly just winning HOHs either by luck or by strategy. I don't know, but they definitely have a target on the back. Like I would almost say they almost need to have a breakup in order to get to the end, because if they keep going, they're automatic targets. They're automatic targets now. You have Christy and Tommy, and even Cliff. He's going to end up seeing that too. Like Mickey or Holly is not going to take Cliff to the end. They're going to take the other one. Like, it now is coming the time. Push comes to shove. Start making moves. And that's what everyone's been wanting this whole entire season. Start playing the game. And like, I'm sorry, I'm saying this now because I really didn't do anything. Like,
you're with us now.
True. I mean, but also too, like it is a show, so they are going to show certain parts to make a show.
Yeah.
So just like I still feel responsible for breaking up the six shooters and causing that whole chaos. But then that was only on live feeds. But then when you watch the show, I was like irrelevant. And like, it is what it is. It's a show. You know, some people say that maybe I did blow them up. Some people say I didn't. So they're constantly trying to make a show out of this. So like I could see that. But from what we see now, Mickey and Holly, I don't think they could go to the end together. Like they got to do something. Yeah. Something has to happen. Someone has to get a crack. Someone has to cry. Someone has to break.
Well, could you talk a little bit about that? Because you were on to them and you had the conversation with Bella where she told you about what was going on with them. But then it seemed like that after that, then you were sort of back in with the undeniable era.
All right. So I knew the whole undeniable was a joke.
Yes.
Like I knew that. The show really didn't show it. But leading up to that, we all talked about ourselves being the majority. We didn't have an alliance. We just said that the majority we want to get to being in jury. And we always talked about that. So when it showed clips of me and Christy talking in the HOH about her putting up Ovi, and she's like, Sam, I just want to do what's best for the group. And it shows me looking like, what? I didn't look like that at all. That was a total different conversation where I gave that look. I was not fazed by it because she said she wants to do what's best for the group, which she was referring to the majority of which I was part of.
Yeah.
And then when you break it down, you get the ungrateful, this or whatever it's called, ungrateful. So you get grateful and all right. that stuff. And when things were rolling, I still felt I was still kind of safe at that point, because even though I was the bottom of that alliance, I still knew there were bigger targets to get out, or not necessarily targets, but there was other people that were going before me. So I really didn't think that I needed to cause chaos to break up this alliance, even though I was at the bottom, because I was still able to make it a little further. And I figured when the median hits of jury, then we could start making big moves. And I guess it was a kind of dumb plan, because here I am doing a podcast with you.
Yeah. But happy to have you here though, Sam.
And we are happy to have you here, Sam. I think you played about as well as you like really could in the Big Brother house. I will say that, just to be clear though, like when Christy was HOH during the first week and you had the veto and you had promised Cliff, hey, you know, if I win the veto, I'm going to use it on you. You were the one who suggested that Ovi was the replacement nominee. Because I remember Ovi came by and you were like, what about Ovi? And she's like, yeah, right. Yeah, that could be it. And I was like, I'm thinking down the line, I'm thinking, like, that is a terrible move for you, because Ovi could be really good for you later on down the line when you need to pick up people. Instead, you kept Kat in the game. And Kat, as you saw, was not somebody who was necessarily on your side. So I was like, just to be clear about that, like, I do feel like that was a misstep on your part. But there were other times right. during the game where I do feel like on day 44, they didn't give you enough credit for causing the blow up that eventually caused the dissolution of the six shooters. But you weren't able to take advantage of that, obviously, because you're not in the house by that point. So good points and bad points to your game, but I agree with you that they didn't show
right. part of it. Right. And also too, looking back in retrospect now, because when I was down in Florida after the show, we were doing the Give Kids the World. I was talking to Evil Dick in the bar.
Yeah.
And we were going back and forth, and Evil Dick and I were talking about the same exact thing. And we said, like, you know what? Looking back in retrospect, I should have took the floaters, the bottom feeders.
Yes.
I should have worked them 110%. I should have went with it. And it's going to be my biggest regret in life, unless I go back on the show.
Right.
But that's my biggest regret in life, because I did not see it at that time, because I always told the wife, I never want to go into Big Brother and make my own alliances. I wanted to be pulled into alliances.
Right.
Well, looking back now, I should have just made my own alliances. I should have went with the bottom feeders. I should have went the floaters. And maybe we could have flipped this whole house. And hey,
Sam, I will tell you.
Learn.
That a colleague of mine, Taryn Armstrong, he was on Twitter when I was like day 21, 22, something like that. He called you potentially the chosen one. He thought you could bring together like the outsiders and the bottom feeders and bring them together, because he saw in your game that you were able to do that. But much like Star Wars, like, it wasn't exactly the way that we thought it was going to be. You were the chosen one in breaking up the six shooters, but it didn't work out exactly the way that we thought it was going to be. So I agree with you that was the best way for you to go. I do think, like, as long as we're talking about this, let's just get it out really quickly. I think that the biggest mistake you made in the game was not telling Nick that the six shooters were coming after him. When he was HOH and Nick said, I feel like maybe they're not totally loyal to me. And you were like, yeah, I think they're fine. But you knew that they weren't. You knew that they were hoping that Nick and Bella did not win HOH, and you didn't tell him that. And the reason I wanted you to tell Nick is because Nick is HOH. You don't have to do anything. You can just tell him and let him break up the six shooters, and then you can take advantage of that. But instead, you let him do like exactly what he shouldn't do, and it just all blew to hell. So
which is true though, but in the same sense, I knew Nick could not keep his mouth shut. He blabbed everything. True. So it worried me that
I'm going to
tell him something
of the backlash.
And then there
that's what happens in the cult.
At that point.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And at that point, I still felt like I was still safe in the game, because I figured that Nick and Bella were bigger targets than I was. So I figured, like, I'm still golden at this point, regardless of what happens here.
Right.
I mean, looking back, like it's very easy to watch the show and be like, oh, because you see the whole thing. But when I was in the house, you only see what you see with the people in front of you. And that's hard.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. What I wanted you to do was take it one step further, because I recognize that you were totally fine at the time. But you have to know that if the house is coming for Nick and Bella, you're really tied with them. And the house is going to see you as an appendage of Nick and Bella, which you eventually were. And much like other things in real life, you're safe until they come for you. And then when they come for you, it's too late.
Right.
Yeah. So, and you did get unlucky week.
And I
did get unlucky that week that he won the veto.
Yeah, definitely. But even the case, I really thought I was going to be able to get Holly to put up Nicole next to me, because I thought Nicole was going to be my best bet to stay in the house. And I still think so. Yeah. I still think I could have swayed the house against Nicole. And I trust me, I love Nicole now. I hope she wins the entire game. I'm rooting for her. I really want her to win. But at that time, I think if I was up next to her, I was golden. And when Holly would not budge on Kat, it made sense that she had this final two or whatever it was with Kat. Like, makes sense. But that's when I knew my fate was over. When she put up Kat and that was it, I was done. And I was like, all right. Like, it was just an unlucky situation. Guilty by association. There's nothing I can do about it.
Yeah, the dissolution of the Six Shooters happened a little bit after that, and that was really unlucky for you too, because at the time, Holly didn't want to put up Nicole because Christy said that if Holly puts up Nicole, that is a direct strike against us. We know that she's not on our side if she does that. So Holly's hands were effectively tied. She couldn't put up Nicole because then everything would have blown up around her. Of course, you know, three days later, everything blew up around her anyway. So
Anyways. Yeah. It's really hard. It's really hard watching the show back. It's like whenever we watch Big Brother, we always get excited to watch the show and everything. Yeah. When I go to watch the show, I legit turn on my TV and when I'm watching it back and I'm like, ugh, here we go. Because it's exhausting watching all the conversations that happen behind of what I saw. It's exhausting. So yeah.
Sam, can you talk a little bit about how you think that Nick ended up doing? After you were gone, he was sort of on his own in the house, and he had a little bit of a run before he went out last week. What was your take overall on Nick's game, post-Sam?
All right, so a lot of people hated Nick for not throwing me a sympathy vote. And even to this day, I think sympathy votes are the dumbest thing alive. If you could save your game after someone is being voted out, save your freaking game. Don't give me a stupid sympathy vote. And I told Nick straight up in the boat room, don't give me a sympathy vote. Vote with the house. Because obviously Tommy and Christy came to me when Bella was out and they were like, why don't you vote with the house? They were grilling me on it. So I knew that according to the house, you need to vote with the house. Otherwise, it's a big deal. And I told Nick that, don't give me a sympathy vote. So that's why he did not give me a sympathy vote when I got evicted. Totally respectable. I have no hard feelings. I told him to do that. And then after that, I sort of thought he was getting his craft together. He really wasn't causing waves. He was just being normal Nick. Mm-hmm. He was floating through the house, like touching base here and there. And I thought he was doing overall, he was doing well. Whether the cuddling was working, whether the laughing at everyone's jokes was working, whatever it was, I thought Nick was doing all right for the couple weeks. And then it went to crap. He was voted out. He was like,
I agree. I think he was doing great for a couple weeks. He was trying to play the middle, didn't do the middle very well. Everyone recognized that he was playing the middle, which when you're playing the middle, that's not what you want people to do. He decided to pick a team. I think that was good for him. But then he got outplayed by Christy on Taco Tuesday and the remaining days after that. Yep. So I really feel like Nick's game was probably good up until then. It wasn't great, but it was good. And I don't think he targeted it. But then, Christy outplays him and then he's out of the house.
Right. And I think your biggest thing in the house is you cannot lose your cool. When you lose your cool, you look dangerous and you look like you're lying. So when they were fighting at Taco Tuesday and Nick was starting to blow up and Christy was like, I don't know why you're getting so defensive, and watching the TV like, stop! Like, stop getting mad. Stop screaming, because it just looks like you're losing and that's why you're getting mad. And the more he did that, like, you could just tell he was done, because Christy kept her cool. As much as it pains me to say, Christy kept her cool and she just kept feeding into it. She kept triggering him, getting him going, starting to make him flip out. And it worked to her favor. And now she's still in the game. Good for her.
And Sam, you were really campaigning hard against Christy on your final days in the house. And somehow she's still there and she's been on the block week after week after week. And somehow she's going to be safe again this week. Have you been impressed with what Christy's been able to do?
Yes. I'm not a big fan of Christy after I came out and I found out that she name dropped my wife and all that stuff on the feeds. Fence why I don't like her now. However, from gameplay, if I was in the jury and she was final two, I'd be voting for her to win, because even though she could cry on a whim, I think her game is actually doing pretty good for this season. She has, the past 4 weeks, she's been saving herself. Like, get out of here. I mean, yeah, she could cry up a storm, but it's working. It is working. Whatever she is doing is working. Crying, manipulating, lying, swearing on her sister. It's working. And no matter if you don't like her or you like her, her game is on point and it's working so far. And I have a feeling we're going to see her. We're going to see her in the finals. If they don't get her out, she's going to the end.
That's really great to hear you say that, because I don't know if you saw Nick's exit interview when he was talking with Julie, but he is not a big fan of Christie. In fact, of the people remaining in the game, I think that Christie is the person he would vote for, he's the least likely to vote for. So I think that maybe he's a little burned right now, and I'm hoping he can eventually come around to your point of view, because Christie has played a pretty strong game. It's been a mighty game, not a perfect game, but it's something that I'm a fan of right now. She's definitely winning over.
Yep. And I also said this too. When I was using this in my campaign, when I was on the block, I said, if I was in jury, I was going to vote strictly on game. We all saw what happened to Paul. Paul got robbed of Big Brother because everyone in jury was butthurt about the lies and the friendship. Well, welcome to Big Brother. Why did you sign up? It is all about game. And jury management, that's like a friggin' 2000 thing. Like, get over it. Evil Dick would not be able to be on this season in this current lifestyle. It would have been chaos, because it's just not accepted in this life, in this day. So when you look at it, that's why I was saying, hey, if I'm in jury, I'm going off of game. And no matter how much I dislike Christie for dropping Melissa's name and talking crap to me when I was telling the truth, you got to respect it. She is playing Big Brother, and she is doing very well in it. Regardless that she's on the block, she is still seeing her way off of it. You got to give it to her. I mean, that's respectable.
Well, while we're talking about jury votes, I just want to ask you quickly, like, if Cliff gets to the end, that would be like your number one. Like, if Cliff gets to the end, you're voting for him. Am I reading you right on that or not?
Nicole.
Like Cliff versus Christy or Nicole. Okay.
Yeah. Nicole's 100% my number one, because her and I was like Nicole. She was shy. She tried making a big move when she was trying to do the whole thing. And then she
tried to do what you should have done. Yes.
Yeah, I know. But it still didn't work then either. Who said it wouldn't work for me?
Just to be clear, I feel like that you had a better relationship, a much closer relationship with Nick at that time. Like, Nick wasn't really trusting Nicole at the time. So when she came to him with that information, he was like, nah, I don't believe that. Like, but I feel like you told him that, because he asked you. Like, she went to him like affirmatively and tried to get like turn the tables, but you were asked by Nick, and like, do you think that they're like turning on me? The six shooters are turning on me. I mean, he didn't know the name of the six shooters, but he knew that group of six, and you were like, no. So I do feel like that you would have had more agency to be able to say, yes, Nick, I do feel like that your feelings are correct, because Nick felt it. He felt like that they were turning on him. He just needed someone to give him a little nudge. So I feel that you would have been that guy.
Yep. Well, that's why I would have gave him that nudge. And again, it didn't make the show, but if it was on the live feeds and you were watching, all the live feeders know this. From around 11 o'clock at night till around 3 in the morning, I was sitting with Nicole in the kitchen, and I was telling her that I wanted her to stay way over Cliff. I liked her. I respected her. Her and I were have nots together, all this stuff. Well, we're have nots after, I guess. But leading up to that, I really, really liked Nicole. She's quiet, like a little church mouse, you know, like she does her thing. It was working. I liked her. She's a sweet, sweet soul. I sat with her in the kitchen for hours telling her how she should campaign, do this, say this. And I told her, go to Christy and Tommy campaign. And if they decide to flip, they're going to come to me. They're going to let me know, because I thought I was with Christy. I wasn't. They're going to come to me, and I would take care of Nick and Bella. That was the plan. So Nicole went and did her thing to Christy and Tommy. It worked. I mean, they were already flipping in the meanwhile, but this just added the cherry on the top.
Right.
It worked. And all of a sudden, I never heard Christy or Tommy come to me and say, hey, we're flipping the vote. And I was like, oh, well, it's not official then. And then when the vote flipped, I was thinking to myself, like, here I am. I'm right here. Why didn't you come to me? Like, I would have worked for you guys. I would have took care of Nick and Bella, or I would have left them out, like, depending what the house wanted. And that they didn't, that's when I knew, like, I was guilty by association at that point, and they didn't trust me because I was too close to Nick and Bella. Well, but I could have been that push if they came to me.
You could have been, but in your defense, I mean, I feel like you were such a good guy to Nick and Bella, especially Nick, that I feel like that's why the house didn't want to tell you that they were flipping the vote the week that Cliff was voted out and then came right back in, and Nicole was saved, even though she didn't know she was going to be saved. You were trying to save her, but little did you know, behind your back, the six shooters already decided that we're going to save Nicole. So it was a really funny situation happening there, which you don't often see in Big Brother. As we said at the time that it happened, I can't remember the last time someone was saved on the block when they were certain to be going home, and yet no one told the target. Like, no one told Nicole, we're going to save you, and made a deal with her. They just saved her in hopes that she would go after Nick and Bella, and that's why they didn't tell you.
Right. Yep. Yeah. There's nothing. Like, looking back at it now, like, it didn't even make the show. it just showed the shooters flipping their boat, and that right. was it. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah. all right, right. Like, there's yeah. not much I can do about it.
And then Cliff ends up then getting voted out and coming back in when he wins the HOH after that. And that's that week that Cliff ends up having the power where he ends up he ends up being a sort of strong arm there by Christy into not putting somebody else up on the block that telling Christy, selling her a bill of goods and then stabbing her in the back. Do you think that Cliff, knowing how it played out, do you think he made the right move at that decision point? Like, when Christy
with like Guinness 2 weeks of safety or whatever
it was? Yes, but he's still here.
Yeah. No. Yeah, well, all right. So he's still here. But however, if you watch any reality show, Survivor, Big Brother, you always flush a power. Whoever's listening to this would automatically know you flush a power every single chance you get. You do not leave that in the game. And that was completely mind-blowing to me. I love Cliff. I do. I respect his game. But it blew my mind when he came and told me. Because, all right, so back it up. Because, again, it didn't make the show. When Cliff won HOH, I was extremely thrilled. I was happy because I knew I trusted Cliff 100%. If I was still in the house now, I'd be still working with Cliff because he never lied. He never stabbed me. I was 100% good with Cliff. So when he won HOH, I was like, yo, here we go. It's game time. Mickey and Jack, 100%. Let's do this. And then when I went up in the HOH room, I think I was the first one up there. And I went walking in there. And the minute I sat down, Cliff turned to me and he's like, Sam, what are we doing? And I was thinking to myself, like, what are we doing? Like, me and Cliff are in this right now. And I turned to Cliff and I was like, Mickey and Jack. And he's like, that's what I'm thinking, Sam. I want to make a big move. Let's do this. And I was like, there we go. It didn't make the show, but that conversation happened. And then apparently I went to the HOH room too many times. Holly counted. She told me I was up there 4 times. And all this jazz started happening with that. And then all of a sudden, when it came down to Cliff finding out about power, and then they're flipping, they want to put Bella up and all this stuff. Like, he didn't flush the power and then he put Bella up. Bella and Nick would have worked with Cliff. Like, come on. However, I can't really say a lot of stuff because Cliff's still in the house. So it obviously worked. Like, hey, all right, more power to you. But I know reality TV, you flush a power. It's not that hard to figure out. It needs to be done. And I shake my head at it, but he, like you said, he's still in the game. Nothing I can do about it.
So what do you think about Cliff overall here? You said that you'd vote for Nicole tops over anybody. Would you vote for Cliff if he was in the end over any of the other people?
Oh, yeah, 100%. He won Camp Comeback, all right? And then he came back and won the HOH. Mind-blowing. He's an older guy, so yeah, he has some problems in comps, you know, hurt his knee or whatever he hurt. Like, that's respectable. He's still hanging in there. His social game is still good. With a bunch of, like, millennials, he's still hanging in there.
Yeah.
Good for him. So yeah, Nicole would be my number one if she was there. But number two right up there, Cliff. If Cliff was standing up next to anybody, I would vote. And I'm afraid that the people in the jury right now are so in love with Christy. If you put up Christy and Cliff or Christy and Nicole, I really think they would all vote for Christy to win because they're all like love blinded by Christy.
So let's figure out who's on the bottom then of the people that are left in the house. So let's put Jess aside for a moment. We'll come back to her. So of the people that are potentially going to be there going into that double eviction, then who's the six out of six in terms of the people that are still left in the game in terms of
who you would vote for? Yeah.
The ones I'd
who's
least
the
vote
worst
for?
Out of this six. Yeah.
I mean, all right, so don't crucify me for this, but even though Holly won 2 HOHs, I think Holly's still at the bottom because the HOHs were sort of like luck, and she won, but she really doesn't do anything.
Well, to be fair, that, you know, hanging on, I don't know how much luck was on that endurance cup.
Right, and that's good, but Sis was right behind her.
I'll give you that one. That was pretty good. That
So 50% of her wins have been luck. So she won one, which is endurance. She rides horses all the time. Her feet are in stirrups all the time. And when you ride a horse, you you hover your butt above the saddle. So her legs were golden. You got to give her that.
She got lucky that it was that competition.
She did. But can I stop you right there? Because I'm not coming for you, Sam. I love you. I'm asking what I think the fans are thinking here. So sure, you said you would vote for Nicole over everybody else, but Nicole hasn't won anything. So she hasn't won anything.
Right. So, but Nicole's social game.
Okay.
Everyone likes her. Okay. No one sees an issue with her. And she tried making a big move. It backfired, but she still recovered. She got the votes back. She stayed when she was on the block, and then she's floated through the entire time. Mm-hmm. Like, floater or not, floaters win Big Brother sometimes.
Okay.
Like, cool. It's working to our favor. That's why, like, Holly is sort of like, Holly has baggage on her game, whether it be Mickey or the fight with Mickey or doing this, doing that. It appears when I was in the house that Holly really didn't do much. But the whole house knew that Nicole tried causing chaos, tried breaking up this and saying this about that. Everyone knew about that in the house. Not a lot of people know about what Holly's doing in the house. She's talking with Mickey, and they're all in the corner, and they're all quiet, and nobody really knows.
I think that's certainly fair. I think that you've seen, like, over the past month, they've been in power since, you know, the beginning of time, it seems like. And that they spend all their time together. Even when they're fighting, they spend all their time together. There was a moment in time where she was going to leave the bedroom and start packing up her shit. But, they spend all their time together. They don't talk with the majority of the house guests. Nicole talks with everybody. She's spending time with everybody. Cliff talks with everybody. But Jackson and Holly, they don't talk with everybody. They spend a lot out of time with themselves, and I really feel like that, you know, Sam favoring Nicole over Holly and putting her at the bottom really is a reflection of the fact that people miss when they watch the show, is that the social game is not necessarily the sexy game, but it really does win juries, and I feel like that maybe a lot of times people don't see that, so that's good.
Yep, true, because I've always said this when people ask me, like, what's the big thing with being in the Big Brother house, like, how does it feel, this and that, and I always said it's very real, because when you and I watch the show now, we watch it, if there's a fight that breaks out on the show, we hit off and we go to bed. Well, when you're in the house, if there's a fight, you're sitting there and you have to deal with it afterwards. It's awkward, they're making small talk, they're looking at each other, it's weird, nobody likes it. It's a very, very real game. So when you look at it social wise I still say that if Nicole and Holly were, like, up together and I was in jury, I would go with Nicole, because from the appearance of Holly, it looks like, yeah, she won two HOHs, but she's kind of with Mickey in that whole thing, where Nicole's a lone rider. She's doing her own thing. She's trying to make moves. She's trying to win stuff. She hasn't won anything, like you said, but she's still trying. And if she can't win anything, her social game is the only thing she has left. And so far, it's working to her favor.
So let me ask you about Jackson's HOH this week, where it looks like that he is going to get Jess out this week. So what do you think of how Jackson is using this HOH at the final seven?
Dumb. Four letters, dumb. Now is the time for the nit and grit. Now is the time to make moves. And to tell me Jess has vocally said that she is a floater, like, she doesn't do anything. Like, yeah, I guess her social game's kind of on point. Maybe. I mean, I wasn't a fan of it, but hey, maybe so hard you'll see it. But you have Christy, who was sitting next to her. And, like, how was she not the target? This is the time to get people out. And you're getting rid of Jess? She hasn't done anything. Why are you getting her out? It is mind-blowing to me. It's Big Brother. Get out the people and start taking floaters to the end. Mm-hmm. Oh, so that's what I think about that.
Yeah. I hear you.
I mean, I am a snooze fest, so.
Tommy is somebody that we haven't even touched on, Sam. I'm curious to know how you think that Tommy has been doing here down the stretch.
Just recently, I've been on the Ruthless Twitter, and somebody said something about Tommy about his game. And it's true. It is very true. When you watch it, Tommy really doesn't do anything, but he's winning stuff and he's taking Christy with him because they have that probably automatic final two thing. But he is doing very, very well. Mm-hmm. Very well. Like, if Nicole and Tommy were up next to each other, nobody would know who's winning. It would be a shot in the dark. So if Tommy's up against Cliff or Tommy's up against Christy, I think Tommy would win. But like they're the two. Tommy and Nicole are both the people that are like, hey, like their game, I think, is on point. Like nobody notices what they're doing. Tommy keeps winning these vetoes, saving Christy, and nobody has even talked about it. Nobody's like, hey, Tommy keeps winning. Nothing. It just doesn't exist. And he keeps pulling Christy off and nobody even sees that. Why does Tommy keep pulling Christy off? Is there a final two? Nobody even says anything.
Yeah.
So he is pulling it off. And I was like, he's an actor. So when he was just on the show now and Jess was crying, first of all, Jess is crying to Christy, who's on the block next to her, which I think is like very ironic. Mm-hmm. Like nothing like crying to the person who's also on the block too. Like, oh, I can't believe I'm on the block. Well, they're on the block too. Funny fact. So, but then like Tommy like hops over next to her and he's like holding her, like he got his little Tommy eyebrows going, like, oh, I don't know, I'm sorry. Like he's really good at like comforting people, talking them through it. It's okay. I bet you he could nominate people like he already did and then cry with them. Like, I'm so sorry. Nominate the big, oh, don't worry about Tommy. It's not your fault. Like that's what they would do. Cause he, I don't know. He's
I
a
didn't
good
want to, I had
too.
To.
Right. Like my hands were tied. What do you want me to do? We're getting down to the bottom. Like he could talk his way out of it. So actually in social game wise, Nicole and Tommy are actually really good, and Tommy has one more stuff than Nicole. So yeah.
Now
if it was Tommy and Nicole, I bet you Tommy would win.
I'm happy to hear you say these things about Tommy, because I thought that you were upset with Tommy, because tonight I thought that he came out of nowhere and stole your signature bit, Sam. Listen to this.
Listen, it may not be the most imaginative spot, but all right, let's send it.
What?
That was terrible.
What's he doing?
Things. Well, I was watching this, and me and Melissa were sitting there, and Zachary's sitting next to me, and he just said it so nonchalantly. And I turned to Melissa, and I was like, did he just say my send it?
Yeah.
And Melissa was like, I don't think he meant it like you say it though. And like, we almost had to pause the TV and be like, huh? Like, was that my thing or not? Like, what are you doing still? Because did you see the jury interview things on Instagram, and Kat went to go throw a dart and Jack was like, oh, just send it again. Mm-hmm. Are they taking my thing? Like,
is it an homage or are they ripping you off?
Yeah. That's what I want to know, because they're not even saying it like I say it. When you say it, you got to tighten the abdomen. You got to lift the head up. You got to show the nostrils and you got to yell, send it. You can't just sit there and be like, all right, guys, let's go ahead and send it. There's no professional way to say send it. You have to like go full out, exuberating, exhilarating and yell send it. You can't give it the way they're saying it. They are doing my send it harm. I'm not a fan. I don't support this cause. Fake news.
No send it t-shirts for Tommy?
I might send him one afterwards, because I do feel like, did you see my t-shirts or no? Did you
I
see
haven't
them?
Seen them. I know you have send it t-shirts.
All right. Yeah. So I do have send it t-shirts. However, I may have put my face on a t-shirt, a little cringeworthy. In retrospect,
let me see. Scott,
I will not
bring this. Let me tell our producer Scott where we'll be the judge of. Brent will rate it. He'll get the one paddle ready to go. Where do we go to see your shirt, Sam?
Bonfire, and it's like bonfire/Sam Smith.
Okay, bonfire.com/Sam Smith. You're on Cameo also, and you are killing it on Cameo, right?
Ah, dude, I love cameos. I get such a thrill. Like, all right, so obviously I love talking. Okay, that's my thing.
No.
I love trying to make people laugh. So when I get the chance to do cameos, I go all out. I don't care what I do. I don't care if people are looking
at
me.
It's a steal, your cameos.
Work.
Yeah. It's a great value.
Yeah, they're legit. They're me.
You're not phoning
it. I love
Tommy
these cameos.
Doing send it.
Send it.
Yeah. Forget that.
Yeah. It's hurting my send it.
Yeah, I think you would be a great value for anybody who wants to get a cameo with you, Sam. I feel like
I've seen them. They're
all
great.
The energy in the world for those cameos.
Yeah.
Every single one. And like, I will, like, when I'm done a cameo, first of all, my throat's like hurting because I'm yelling all the time. Some people don't like that. Some people do. And I always, like, when I'm done, I'm like sweating, legit sweating, because I put so much emphasis into these cameos. I love it. It's so much fun to me. This is so much fun. I love it.
Yeah. Okay. Talk to me about Jackson and Holly. That we saw so much tension in the house. Did you think that, will this work outside of the house, Sam?
All right. So, hot take. I talked to Holly.
Hot takes with Holly.
Yeah, hot take with Holly. So, 2-3 weeks before I got evicted, I was laying in my bed there, and Holly came in to get changed. And I was like, Holly, I was like, are you and Mickey going to be a thing? Like, outside the house. And she was like, Sam, Mickey's too young for me. I'm usually not into that. I'm usually into older guys that have like their life together, their game plans, this and that. And Holly told me all that straight out the bat. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, all right. Like, I can respect that. You know, she's the same age as I am, like 3 months older or something. And she's dating a young kid, which you can see.
Buzzard. Yeah. Huh? I didn't know you were an old buzzard, Sam.
Yeah. I'm out there. I don't think I would have made the old buzzard with Zingbot, though. I still think Holly would have got that, because I'm not in denial of my 31 years of age.
Yeah.
Some other people are. So you got to take that into effect. So, yeah. So Holly ended up telling me that, like, you know, I don't think this relationship's going to work. And when I was watching this fight on the show right now, before we came on, I told Melissa, I was like, you know what's funny? I was like, you could see the age difference. Holly's very like, let me tell you my feelings and you tell me your feedback on how you think. And then she tells him her feelings and he's putting on his headphones. And I'm like, all right, well, there's a typical 20-year-old that doesn't want to talk about it because he's done. At that point, you're like, oh, okay, we're broken up. I'm going to go to the club tomorrow. Like, that was a total age difference. We all saw it. So I don't think so, especially too, since we're all going to Vegas after finale. I don't think it's going to last through that. But okay, we'll see. Hey, anything can happen.
I've been fooled before, Sam. There have been people on Big Brother who I said, the minute this season ends.
I think they'll make it work for a couple months. I think that I give it to Thanksgiving.
All right. Well, I could see that. I could see that. But,
but
I don't think it's going to go. I don't, 2020, we're not going to see Mick and Holly together. No way. This
guy's not going to Wyoming for Thanksgiving, okay? He's not going to miss a holiday. I want to play some clips that I pulled from. I know it was very serious, the fight. I don't mean to make fun, but there was a couple of moments from the fighting tonight that really cracked me up. So, of course, Jackson started with giving some feedback to Holly on the Hot Takes with Halls show. This was his issue.
Not on a Friday night. And it's Labor Day weekend.
Yeah. Brent, should you launch a live feed talk show on Labor Day weekend?
I have no clue where this came from. This was just him being Jackson. Like who gives it? Like, that's a perfect time to launch it. The feeders are at home. Like, they're not doing anything. They were doing stuff.
Live
but then
feeders are at a barbecue.
What other programming is on Labor Day? Come on. This is crazy talk.
Okay. Yep. And again, age difference. Mm-hmm. That's a 20-year-old who's going to try to plan something around a holiday. Like, oh, all right, well, let's do this, but we can't do it October 31st. That's Halloween. Cool.
And I know we're being fun, but he doesn't realize, like, when he says stuff like that, like, it made her feel stupid. He was like, right. I mean, come on, like, not on Friday and not on Labor Day. Like,
right.
Come on,
like, obviously. He didn't say
stupid, but that's how it came off.
He also said, she's like, yeah, we could do a show and then we could talk about stuff. And he's like, well, I don't want to have my secrets revealed to America. Like, dude, you're on Big Brother. You're on the right. Live feed 24/7. Like,
everything's like they're legit banging on the live feeds. But let's not talk about your secrets on the show.
I don't want to know that about me. Okay, so then when they were going back and forth, then he said this to her.
This is getting nowhere, and I'm praying for you. And I hope that in these next 25 days, you can find the happiness that you want and that you make this experience everything you thought it would be.
So I'm going to try that the next time I'm going to fight with my wife. I'm going to tell her, listen, honey, I'm praying for you. I hope you get everything that you want. I'll pray for you.
Yeah. I'll pray for you and I hope you find the happiness that you want in life, which is obviously, that is again, a typical age difference. that's something a college kid would say to an art college girl, like, hey, you know, I'm sorry I'm not the man for you, but I hope you find the man that you'll truly love. And they break up the girl. Age difference.
Yeah. All right. Now, Brett, I want to get your reaction to this one. So then they get into the fight. Holly leaves the room and he goes to his photos that he has from the HOH and he says,
love you, mama.
Love you, mama.
this was weird. I couldn't believe this.
Yeah.
I missed this. Like, I did not see this. I couldn't believe this when I saw it on the show tonight. Like, this was nuts. Like, we make jokes on Twitter all the time about Jackson's mom.
The psychologist in on this one.
Yeah. Well, remember, his mom was in his intro package. I mean, he's a total mama's boy, which is cool. Good for you and everything. Yeah. But, Twitter's made jokes about why they don't have have-nots anymore, or why they don't air certain things because, like, you know, like there was some fake account that said his mom was like suing CBS, which of course was not true, but it became a thing in social media. So then to have him like go to his mom's picture and say, love you, mama. It just like fed into all of that angst that Twitter has been feeling. And I thought was totally hilarious. Like, it was great.
Yep. Yeah, it was. Especially too, because like he's the only child, and usually only childs are mama's boys.
Yeah.
So it kind of makes sense. Fits the criteria.
Yeah. Maybe, you know, Jackson's mom said to him from, you know, a young age, like, Jackson, if you ever meet a woman that doesn't, sorry, I'm just trying to do it.
If she doesn't serve you watermelon every day and bring you coffee and sit and say good morning, you pray for that woman. You kick her to the curb, Jackson. You hear me? She's not good enough for my boy.
God, crazy.
She doesn't give you 100 watermelons every day, Jackson. Then she's not right for you. If she tries to launch a talk show on Labor Day weekend, you know she's no Mickey woman. She'll never be Holly Mickey.
So Scott, our producer, we got the Sam shirt ready to go. Take a look at this. All right, Brent, give us the stock watch from 1 to 10 on the shirt.
I don't know. That Sam, you're so much more handsome in real life than what this shirt is showing. Yeah. On a scale of 1 to 10, I give it a 1.
Oh, hold on.
A 1. How can you do a 1?
You're so much hotter in real life, Sam. Like, this doesn't quantify your amazing.
I have to say that I love the send it, but I feel like that the head, I wouldn't get that was you. I feel like let's just get a can we do a version just send it?
Oh, well, actually, that's my next plan. So during this whole process is a learning experience, which I'm learning what to do, what to make, this and that. And I have new ideas for a new shirt. So I'm thinking now, like, I can't just come up with a new shirt after this shirt.
Yeah.
So I think I'm going to wait 1 or 2 months. And yeah. What you said, Sam, with the send it part. Yeah. And
Sam, let me tell you the great thing about this podcast, that there are so many people that watch this, that if you have a concept for the new send it shirt, get a hold of Sam. Well, Sam, what's your Twitter?
BB21_Sam.
Find Sam.
I don't know.
Sam on Twitter. and let say that if you have a design, send it. Okay, people will work on this.
You know what? You know what we need? We need a shirt that says "send it" on it with a little button, like those birthday cards you buy at Hallmark, and you push the little button, and they'll just yell "send it" instead of a shirt.
I don't think they have the technology for that.
That would be great. By the way, Sam, I don't have other paddles. I just have the one paddle for when I get people paddle. So, like, this is a bit. Like, come on. Right. Like, I love you. And
the hammer, the world, it looks like a nail, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right. I forgive you. I really hope that truly in life you find the love you're looking for.
Thank you. Yeah, pray for me.
Pray for me. Pray for Brent, Sam. Hide and go veto, Sam. Did you have a spot in the house where you were going to hide the veto?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked. I was actually going to bring this up before. So, first of all, I thought it was going to be the squares. You know how they hide the square? Yeah. Hide and go veto is usually not circle. So, either way, I still think this would have worked. I was going to go underneath the first or second step over by the deer. on the steps leading up to the HOH room. And I was going to, those steps have a little flange on them of a little metal bracket. And I was going to take that hot and go veto. I was going to stick it up underneath the step and I was going to jam it in there just where it holds. And I would have won this game because nobody even went over to those steps unless it's against the rules, which we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But that would have been my spot. I don't care if I would have broke the stupid thing. I would have jammed it up there, and that's where I was hiding it. And I told Nick that too when I was going to get evicted out in case he was going to be there for this. That's where I told him to hide it. But it didn't make sense.
Brent, don't you think we needed Sam tearing the house apart? Wouldn't that have been great?
Yes. I feel like we really missed out on that. That would be, although Jackson did an admirable job. Like the way that I heard tell about this, because I was working when this is happening. Like, I didn't think this was that bad, but then my God, the house looked like a total wreck. By the way, Sam, I know that Cliff tried to hide his veto in a couple different spots and Big Brother told him that he was not allowed to hide it there, not allowed to hide it there. So I'm pretty sure that the stairs thing might have been against the rules, but I don't know for sure. But I know that Big Brother.
They were really weird
this year in terms of like where you couldn't hide it. So I don't know if they were trying to, really bring the hammer down on people, or they were. Or the other possibility was that the one thing they didn't show on the episode tonight was that Jackson, Holly, Nicole, and Cliff had all been working together, saying if it's hide and go veto, here's where I'm going to hide my veto. Here's where I'm going to hide my veto. Like, they knew where each other was going to hide their veto about, and it was like Big Brother, I think, in my opinion, was trying to prevent their own collusion by them trying to.
The Zingbot just got busted for collusion, Brent.
That's very true. But on the other hand, like it was a total shit show between the three of them because Cliff said that I had my veto in the bathroom, and Jackson thought he said the buck room, and so like Jackson went to the bathroom and then found Cliff's veto. So like they couldn't even they knew they were trying to rig the competition, and they still weren't successful at it.
But it wasn't even in the episode that Jack's like, well, I hope I don't find Cliff's veto. Hope I don't find Nicole's veto. Like, there was no strategy.
None of that. Well, there was none of that. There was none of Tommy when he won the veto talking to Jackson. He's like, you saw him in the DR. He's like, if I win the veto, I'll have to decide what to do with it. I'm like, bitch, please. Like, come on, we know what you're going to do with it. Like, you're going to save this Christie, which is craziness. And then, like, in fairness, I'm glad that they just jumped to the end at the end of the episode because we all knew he was going to save Christie. The one thing that they didn't show tonight was that Cliff had previously promised that if the veto was won and one of the nominees came down and Tommy wasn't available, that Cliff would go up as a pawn. So it wasn't a total blindside to Cliff. He knew that he was going up as a pawn. Jackson previously told him. Cliff had volunteered for it. Everybody in that little foursome, Holly and Nicole, all knew that Cliff was going to go up as a pawn. So it wasn't a blindside, just FYI.
Right. And with all due respect, is if you have Cliff and Jess up on the block together, you should really get out Cliff. He would stand a better chance of being against you in finale. He would probably win. So again, dumb that you're still going to vote out Jess. I mean, a lot can change, but I'm pretty sure Jess is going home, and dumb.
Right, especially considering her performance in the hide and go veto, Sam, when she hid her veto underneath her mattress.
Yep, and Mickey pointed that right out.
Like 8 seconds.
Yeah. Well, who did the hide and go veto? Remember they threw it on the floor and they kept throwing mattresses on top of it. Who was
that?
Genius. Yep. But okay, whatever. I so wish I was in there for that game. I so wanted to play that. That would be a dream come true. So I feel good for Tommy winning and being like, hey, I feel honored that I won this. This is dream come true. Like, cool. I wish I could have experienced that. But
nope. Sam, have you planned a trip to Fiji yet?
Not yet, because with everything comes taxes.
Yes.
So and with everything also comes flights. Yes. And since I've been out of the house for so long, I'm trying to make back my finances.
Oh, they don't even give you the flight.
So me and the wife are going
to
put that on hold.
They don't put you on the flight to Fiji? It's just like the accommodations in Fiji?
I mean, he means that... they pay for the flight, right? They're not going to supplement your finances from your work that you're missing if you go on the vacation. That's what you're talking about, right, Sam? They pay for the flight.
No, because by the time we book it, it could be a year from now and I'll have 2 weeks vacation again or whatever. But I'm talking about, I still have to fly from PA to Vegas. LA.
Yeah.
LA and
so you gotta get to LA.
Which is great. I'm still winning, but I still have to pay some money. And right now, finances are probably a little tight. So me and the wife are gonna put that on the back burner because I definitely want to make up for our 8-year anniversary since I was in the house. So we're gonna save that. And I kind of would like to go in January when it's winter and Pennsylvania sucks. That's the time to go. So that's what I'm sort of shooting for, but we'll see what happens.
Okay. All right. Get some Sam cameo so Sam can go on an anniversary trip. Okay.
Yes.
All right, let's take some questions here with Sam. And so here's a question from Torrance Armstrong wants to know, your reaction to your exit interview to find out about Tommy and Christy's relationship was a surprise and excitement. What are your thoughts now knowing the full extent of their history? Yeah, you and I, when we did our exit interview, I talked about, hey, did you know this about Tommy and Christy? And so now that you've sort of like gotten to process that information, how are you feeling about the Tommy and Christy thing?
Well, all right, so a lot of people ask me this. I get on Snapchat, I get on Instagram, I get random messages on Twitter, like, how do you feel about Christy and Tommy? Everyone asks me this, and I'm really not that impressed by it, because all right, Christy and Tommy know each other, congrats, you have a final two coming into the house, big whoop. I could have a final two with Nick, would it work? No. So yeah, them coming in, it really wasn't a big deal until now, recently with Christy on the block. Now it's showing its true colors, which is working to its favor. But at the beginning, when I was in the house, their little Christy and Tommy knowing each other did absolutely nothing. It didn't matter. You can have a final two all you want. It doesn't matter to come down to the knit and grit of it. And now it's paying off, which great for them, but it didn't affect me in the game. So I really don't have like that much to go off of. Only that it didn't affect me.
So you're not upset that it happened, because I think there's some debate whether or not it was intentional or not, that they knew, that the producers knew that this was actually going to be a thing, that they had, that they knew each other.
Yeah. No, they definitely knew each other coming in.
We know that, but did production know that they knew each other coming in? That's the question.
Yeah, but I really can't talk about it.
Yeah, okay. You're allowed to now.
I don't want to get in trouble. Okay. I've never done this before. Yeah. I've never been in this predicament. So I don't know what to say about
that. We know that Christy was an alternate for the cast. I mean, that's
okay. Good. All right. Yeah. Good. Okay. Yeah, I'll get that out. Yeah, because there was also another alternate that could have been friends with Kat. And that didn't work out. So that was also coming in too. So there was definitely supposed to be relationships.
Yeah. You don't need to tell Brent about that one. Brent's on top of that one. Okay.
I was on top of that one.
Bridget says, okay. Did anyone know if you have to bring out the veto if you find it? For example, if Jackson found Nicole's, could he have hidden it back under the basket or overturned and made it look searched? Or would he have to bring it out if it was found? Brent, do you know the rules on this? I feel like that's a little muddy.
Yeah, it's a little money. I'm guessing no, but then again, I was shocked when I heard that Big Brother was telling Cliff that he couldn't hide it in certain places. I thought the only place you can't hide it is upstairs in HOH. Like, that was the only place to me that you can't. And I know you can't hide it on, like, you know, under the lights or things that are above. So that was news to me, and I was shocked by it.
Brent, I'm with you guys from the LC Roundtable. I'm over hide the veto.
It's kind of not good TV anymore. There was a moment in time where it was.
Change the channel for 15 minutes and come back when it's over.
You really can. There's no drama in it. Like, I mean, sometimes I forget who hid what where and what's been found and who
you don't won. Like hide the veto?
I really don't. Because the feeds are down for like, I mean, like normal vetoes, like the feeds are down for like an hour or two. Feeds are down for like 5-6 hours for hide and go veto, and it takes up a lot of time. I think that there was a good TV to be had from it early on. And now it's like, we've seen so many hiding places. We've seen like people are just like mailing it in now. I'll hide it under this bed. I'll hide it under this pillow. Tommy won hiding it under a freaking mattress, which is laughable. Yeah. And didn't even go back to it like Brett did last year. So yeah, I'm over hide and go veto. I think they really need to find a new game here.
Respectable. I can say that.
Okay. Here's a question from Mindy. What are Sam's thoughts on Jessica's game? And if he could send a message to Nicole this week, what would he tell her? All right. I think we know Sam's thoughts on Jessica's game. Well, what about, do you have a message to Nicole that you want to send it?
Good question, because what she's doing is working right now. So I really can't critique her game. It is working. She's not a target at all. She's kind of skating by, and it's working to her favor. So I can't really tell her much because she's already trying. She's trying to work with Mickey and Holly. Mickey is obviously a beast. Holly did win the two HOHs. She's with Mickey. So if you're in with Holly, you're in with Mickey. So what she's doing with Cliff, and Cliff's word is usually good. So what she's doing right now is actually pretty good. So there's not much I could say to that. She's doing what I would tell her anyways, is try to work with Mickey and Holly because they're the ones that could protect you. And Mickey and Holly are also bigger targets than Nicole will ever be. So if she can hang around with them, if Christy and Tommy were to win, guess who's going up? Mickey and Holly. Again, not Nicole. So she's actually doing pretty well from what I see right now, and I really can't critique much on that.
Okay. Is it time to retire the hide and go veto competition? Brent and I say yay. Sam says one vote, nay. Keep it.
No, says, no, definitely not. Because this season, no one has really even, like, this season, well, let's be honest, this season kind of sucks. So with hide and go veto, that kind of brings some spaz into it. That kind of brings some energy. Like, oh, Mickey just wiped the top of the fridge clean. That's awesome. That would have sucked being in the house, but that's awesome. We all want to see it. We loved when James did it. Remember James just throwing stuff in the kitchen? Mm-hmm. We were all watching it like, oh, that is so bad. But down deep inside, we like seeing that crap. So we still like seeing that. I think it brings some pizzazz to this show, especially this season. I think this season kind of needed it. Maybe other seasons didn't. This season, I think, did. We need to see destruction and chaos.
Okay. Let's take this question from Mindy. Can Sam shed some light on how Jackson came to be called Mickey in the house? Was it really the way it was portrayed on the show? Was it sort of the very organic that, hey, I'm Jack. You can't be Jackson. You have to be Mickey.
As far as I know, unless I get this wrong, unless I was lied to or something like that, Jackson's last name is Mickey.
Yeah.
And coming up through high school, nobody called him Jackson. Everyone called him Mickey. And that was like a school thing. Mm-hmm. So that's why he said, like, hey, I don't think it had anything to do with Jack. Even if Jack wasn't in the house and he was the only Jackson or Jack, it would have still been Mickey because everyone calls him Mickey. That's what he was going off of. That's what I knew. Unless there's something else to be had, but that's what I heard.
Okay. Sip, can you even look at a watermelon and not think about Jackson / Mickey at this point?
Yeah, now it's funny. I was at Sam's Club the other day and I took a Snapchat of a bunch of watermelons,
yeah,
putting Mickey's face on it because, like, it's kind of funny at this point. But even in the house, I actually, not until him winning HOH, just leading up to this point, I really didn't know he had this huge fetish for, like, watermelons. Because, I mean, oh. I did notice he got mad at me when he was a have-not and I was cutting it. And he was like, you're really going to cut that watermelon in front of me? I remember thinking, like, he was joking. I thought he was joking. When in reality, looking back, I don't think he was at all. I think he was mad that I was cutting a watermelon and he was a have-not. So at that time, I really didn't see the watermelon thing being that big until him winning the HOHs. And now it's talking about, or seeing how many times he requested watermelon in the DR. We request a lot of stuff in the DR. We change HOH baskets. We request pool supplies. We request hot tub stuff. Right. Like, we're in there all the time requesting stuff. So I didn't know if he was in there requesting all that watermelon. So now it all makes sense. But at the time, I didn't really know it was this big of a deal.
Yeah. He loves it. He loves it. I was eating watermelon today. I'm like, look at me. I'm like Jackson.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, great. But also, too, critiquing this,
yes,
because did you ever see him cut, like, cantaloupe? Do you ever see him cut cantaloupe?
Brent, have you seen him cut a cantaloupe?
A cantaloupe? I can't say I do. He loves grapes and watermelon, but I can't say I've seen a cantaloupe. But go ahead.
For how good he is at cutting watermelon and fruit, I'm very disappointed in his cantaloupe cutting skills. Because he cut the cantaloupe completely wrong. If you ever watch him on like live feeds or anything, watch him cut a cantaloupe. It's wrong. It's disgusting. It's not the way it's supposed to be done. And he's wasting so much time. And when he comes out, I hope to critique him on that.
How does he do it? What's the Mickey way to cut a cantaloupe?
He cuts it in slices. First of all, he does it. Everyone knows you take a cantaloupe. You cut it in half. You scoop up the seeds. And then you shave it like you would a watermelon. And that's how you do it. You cut slices off. You dice up like that. He takes a cantaloupe full with the seeds and he cuts it in slices and then he picks out each circular slice and he scrapes the seeds. Next circular slice, scrapes. And I was watching him like, what are you doing? Is this your first time cutting cantaloupe? Like, nobody, I've never seen that. Like, bro, get it together. You've been cutting a watermelon. You shaved it. You obviously watched YouTube editorial videos on cutting a watermelon, but somehow you missed the cantaloupe part. That seems very bizarre to me. It's still
okay.
Still
so as long as we're talking about food, I just want you to know, Sammy, you said earlier that the season kind of sucks. I think it did suck in the beginning. It's gotten better. Like, I love the fluidity of the game right now. But your season is actually really famous because it seems like you guys broke the have-nots. Like, the have-nots aren't even here. Like, Jackson was a have-not when you were in the house, and then, like, they had it one more week, and then they never brought it back. They never even talked about it again. Like, did it, like, I don't know what I can ask you other than, did it infuriate you watching how much, after the fact, when you got out of the house, how much Jackson cheated when he was a have-not, and, like, stole food here, there, left, right, and sideways, to the point where, like, the producers just gave up and said, let's not even do have-nots anymore?
So I noticed with Mickey, I obviously knew he had a big food problem. Okay, a problem or not, I don't know what you call it. But
he has an honesty issue. Problem with food. Yeah, okay,
but it's something. But what he would do is like, all right, so he would be like, all right, guys, it's dinner time. And he'd make the family 6 pizzas. And while everyone's stuffing their face with pizza, I would notice that Mickey's over there meal prepping himself steaks for the rest of the week. And I'd be like, nobody sees this because nobody would complain because he's feeding the family while he's making himself steaks and nobody would say anything. I wasn't going to say anything because obviously I was alone on this. Nobody would say anything. So that was obviously the food issue. But what happened the first week of have-nots, Christy, Mickey, Kat, they took it upon themselves, Tommy, they took it upon themselves to fry and bake the slop. You cannot do that. Slop is a very, very thick porridge kind of deal, very non-tasty crap. It's not made to be fried. They fried it. You saw Mickey bouncing a ball of slop off the floor, and they were eating it like they were eating it, and it was tearing up their buttholes.
Oh,
like,
no. They were in the bathroom.
They were in the bathroom having problems, like bleeding, all this stuff,
and
they were causing chaos in the bathroom from making all this slop crap that I think everyone in Big Brother got so scared that they were going to have issues. So they just started like backing off. Like, all right, so they did have us again with me, Jess, and Nicole. But I think like at that point, they were like, we can't take any chances. No ifs, ands, or buts about it, because there was obviously issues. And I think they just gave up on it at that point. Like, all right, yo, like there's obviously issues here.
I love it that you just said buttholes and kept going. Like, it was like,
it's a very real thing.
I know.
You're talking like, about it all the time.
I was not expecting it to go there. It's just, I was like, all of a sudden I heard that. I was like, whoa.
Sorry.
Oh, yeah. Good. It's all great, Sam.
Wow. Okay. That took a turn.
It took a turn.
Took a turn. Never.
Well, let's just put the past behind us.
Yeah. Yeah. Never fry the slop. That's a
never
a good...
fry. Never fry. Never just take the slop for what it's worth and do what you need to do, and it's done.
Okay. All right. Let's take this question to change the subject. Sam, after leaving, what comp do you wish that you could have been there to be a part of? Was it this one tonight?
Yeah. Hide the veto.
Yeah.
Would have done that 100%.
What about the zing bot? What would your zing have been?
Oh, I actually was planning to zing back Zingbot.
What was your zing back for Zingbot?
Yeah, it was something about leaving the house, like your first to come.
Zingbot,
first
to I'm praying leave. For you.
Yeah, I hope you find the love you want. Yeah, I don't really know. I don't know. Looking back, I sort of forget what was said.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. I think he's probably going after saying something about your voice. I feel like that it's a voice related thing, or you're too loud. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He could have definitely been like, Sam, you know, you're here in the house, but the rest of the house just wish you would send it out the door.
Yeah.
Like, I can see him saying something like that,
so, yeah.
Which I would have loved. I would have loved to be there for Zingbot.
Right. In the wheelhouse for the Zingbot. Okay. This is a question from Savon. Question for Sam. Did you care how controlling Jax was of the food, or did no one really mind? For example, Jax got butt hurt. Really? But come on. All right.
Yeah.
Savon
wanted to cut a watermelon while Jax was have not. Okay. But let's ixnay on the Jackson Utthard Bay. Okay. As, Brett, why don't we segue here to talking about the live feeds?
Okay.
Before we do that, let me just take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. Those are our friends over at Honey. joinhoney.com/RHAP. Brent, I love Honey. Honey is a browser extension. Use it on a Chrome browser, and when you do your online shopping, it will save you money everywhere you shop online, except maybe if you are shopping for Sam Smith t-shirts or cameos. Anywhere that you're shopping, you can get those codes that save you money, and it's amazing because when you use Honey, whenever I'm shopping, like on Amazon, that I use the Honey browser extension, and then it tells me if I'm getting the best price. On other sites, then it tries all these different codes to save you money right in front of your face. It finds the coupon codes and the discounts and applies them automatically in the places that you're already shopping, and you don't have to do anything extra. You know, we all work very hard for the money that we get, so if we don't have to, we don't like to spend it. But that's where Honey comes in, saving you money on the things that you are already buying. It's extra money in your pocket. Over 10 million people are already saving with Honey, and there's no reason not to start using it. Time Magazine calls Honey basically free money. It's free to use, installs on your computer in 2 clicks, and it'll save you money so you can treat yourself to something nice. Get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/RHAP. That's joinhoney.com/RHAP.
So, all right, we're going to go to the talk about the live feeds. And of course, tomorrow night is the double eviction, baby.
And who will follow them out the door? Because it's double eviction night, baby.
Yeah, so be on the lookout for that. Why don't we go ahead and let's talk with Brent and hear a little bit about what's been happening on the live feeds over the last couple of days. Let's do spoilers.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler.
Spoiler.
A spoiler.
Warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
My buzz is over there, Brent. Okay. Brent.
Okay.
Let's yes. talk about the spoilers.
No, let's talk about them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any movement?
Slight movement. I wouldn't call it a lot of movement. My prediction still stands. I still think it'll be 4-0 tomorrow night. Cliff will stay. Jessica will be voted out, but not for lack of trying. Tommy and Christy have done their best to try to flip this vote on Cliff. They think that their best bet is getting Nicole to betray Cliff, which I would never predicted earlier in the week. I always thought their best hope was getting Jackson and Holly on board. But maybe they see it right here because, Nicole has not been great over the past 24 to 48 hours. Jessica has tried to work on Nicole. Now, to be clear, Nicole is still siding with Cliff. She says she told Cliff earlier today, I'm leaning toward keeping you. But she's openly sort of hemming and hawing a little bit, like, I'm going to make my decision. I'll let you know, which I do not like in the Big Brother house. I mean, like, Cliff already feels like Nicole is indebted to him and is going to vote to keep him. So for her to like openly hem and haw and vacillate about this, I don't feel like it's a good look. Now, I was trying to do two things at once watching the feeds because they're talking about right now and the show is going on. It does look like Nicole has done a good enough job at least telling Cliff, yeah, I'm going to side with you. I'm going to just, you know, break the news to Jessica tomorrow. But I do feel like over the past 24 to 48 hours, Nicole has done too much vacillating. I wish she would have just listened to Jessica's campaign, told Jessica she'll get back to him, but privately tell Cliff, you know, I got you. Because right now, Jackson and Holly are doubting Nicole a little bit, whether they're going to vote to keep, whether Nicole is going to vote to keep Cliff or not. And that is not a good position for her to be in, because as things stand, if Jessica goes, Nicole and Cliff are in the catbird seat. They are in the middle between Jackson, Holly, and Tommy and Christy. But Nicole, less Christy from Survivor Amazon. She needs to do less Dolly from Vanuatu. Yeah. Do not be in the middle. Her only saving grace is that this isn't Survivor and they can't just turn around and vote her out. Like she's not on the block, so she's safe. But I wish she'd play a little bit better. She lets her heart get in the way.
of good gameplay.
Yeah, especially in this house where it's almost like not picking a side is worse than being on a side, where Jessica is being targeted here just as like, well, she's a wild card. She's not really part of either side. So let's just put her up on the block because that's safe. There won't be retaliation if I get rid of Jess. Sam, I know you were keeping an eye on the live feed. Do you have any thoughts on Nicole and her being too wishy-washy this week?
To be honest, I've never watched live feeds before, and I still haven't. Like, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Sorry. Oh, okay. Well, just to be clear, like, you know, obviously
you said you saw the whole thing about the necklace, and
I think he's reading like Twitter updates, and people are sending
random. Yeah. My messages blow up all the time. People send me clips. Sam, did you see this? And like, I constantly get tagged in crap. So every so often, I do keep up with live feed crap.
I misunderstood.
But I really don't watch live feeds.
Got it.
Okay. What was Nicole doing though?
Well, she's I think she's like listening to Jessica a little bit too much. Obviously, Cliff thinks that he has Nicole. He thinks he has Holly, which he does have Holly. But like Nicole is wavering a little bit in terms of like, I'll listen to you, Jessica, and I'll listen to you, Cliff, and I'll listen to your campaigns, and then I'll decide what I'm going to do. Like, she's saying, well, I'll be honest with you, I'll let you know. But in Cliff's eyes, she's already let him know. Like, he's already with her, she's with him. So I don't like her listening and giving Jessica a little bit too much hope. I feel like is not a good thing for Nicole, because Jessica already felt like she was going out the door. There's no reason to do this. Like, Nicole's already in a great position. I do feel like she will ultimately side with Cliff and keep him. The chat is telling me that she has told Cliff that, but you can't deny that I feel like her wishy-washiness in trying to decide what to do is not a good look for her. Again, she wears her heart on her sleeve, and she feels bad for Jessica. Again, Nicole's ideal situation going into final three was Cliff and Jessica, just like she said in the episode tonight. Now she's definitely going to lose one of them. But this is not, to be clear, if she makes this mistake and keeps Jessica and evicts Cliff, that is a game-ending mistake, because Jessica is with Christy and Tommy. She will be with them. She doesn't even like Nicole. So, I mean, she's saying right now, like, I like you, Nicole, and I'm your number one, and I've always trusted you. But that is not true. Jessica has thrown Nicole under the bus, left, right, and center. I'm sorry, but like Jessica has not been loyal to Nicole, where Nicole like risked her game to tell Jessica information, and Jessica basically was like, F you. So if Nicole makes this mistake and actually votes to keep Jessica tomorrow and lets Tommy and Christy keep Jessica in the house, that would be astronomically bad.
Right.
As things stand, he votes to keep Cliff. Cliff stays.
Right.
That means that Cliff and Nicole are in the middle. Christy and Tommy win HOH during the double eviction. They're going to target Jackson and Holly. If Holly wins HOH, she's going to target Christy and Tommy. So that's where we stand going into the double eviction. I think that it's like a 50% chance one of Christy or Tommy's going to leave tomorrow, a 45% chance Jackson would leave tomorrow, and like a 5% chance Cliff would leave tomorrow during the double eviction.
So
because
reset that one more time. So 50% who's going home in the second part?
Remember, like, I mean, this is in the universe where Jessica's already been eliminated. So the double eviction starts tomorrow. Only five people are playing for HOH: Christy and Tommy, Cliff and Nicole, and Holly. Holly has decided she is not throwing HOH. So if Holly, Cliff, or Nicole win HOH, they're going to put up Christy and Tommy.
Okay.
Christy and Tommy, point blank in the period. That's what they're going to do. Christy and Tommy win HOH, they're going to put up Jackson and Holly. So those are how things stand going into the HOH competition about what's going to happen. You notice I didn't say that anybody was going to put up Cliff and Nicole. I do feel like there is one universe where if you're a Cliff fan that you might worry for him, and that is the universe where Christy wins HOH. And if Christy wins HOH, she's going to put up Jackson and Holly, because she needs to put – she doesn't like want to target Holly, but she needs to put up Holly so that she can't use the veto on Jackson. So if Christy puts up Jackson and Holly – and Jackson wins the veto, and Cliff is the replacement nominee. I'm not saying he's going to be the replacement nominee, but if he was the replacement nominee, then I feel like there is a universe where Tommy actually is far more threatened by Cliff than he is by Holly, and actually evicts Cliff in that spot if Jackson.
Because of social stuff.
Yes, and I will say that Jessica and Holly and Tommy have done a good job. Just to back up with Jessica, they have done a good job of tying Cliff to Jackson, saying, you know, Jackson and Holly, Nicole, they're going to take Cliff to the final three. They're not going to take you to the final three, which actually is true, but that doesn't mean it's a good idea for Nicole to evict Cliff here. It's actually a terrible idea. And I, like I said, a game ending one, if she actually did it.
Yeah. I'm actually very worried about Cliff because I think that there's probably a, 60% chance Jackson is going to win the veto. No, you know, no matter what happens.
It depends on who's in power and who's voting. Like if Tommy wins HOH, and then Jackson wins the veto and Christy's one of the three votes. I mean, cause obviously, you know, Nicole's going to keep Cliff and Holly's going to keep, Jackson's going to keep Holly. But in that instance, I do feel like that Christy would probably get rid of Holly in that spot and keep Cliff, but it's close. It's close. I do feel like the house, like they view Jackson as the number one threat, but Cliff's like kind of right there with Holly because he's really loyal to Jackson and people notice this kind of stuff.
Sam, do you have a strong feeling on who's going out in the second part of the double eviction tomorrow night?
Well, I liked what Brent said. Really, like that was some good stuff. I was having a hard time looking.
We got the best experts.
I can see that.
Yeah,
I can see that. But when I look at it, like because I always have a hard time because people ask me now, like, who do you think's going to win? Like, I don't know. Like, there's so many people left in the game. How would I know that?
Anyone can win.
Could win. You know, also, but what you said right there, that was good stuff. That was really good. Like, you were mind-blowing me as you were breaking this down. I love that a lot. So, coming into this double, you know, I just want Christy to go at this point because I feel like for everyone else's game, Christy has to go to give everyone else a running shot. If Christy stays again through double, hey, we're getting down to the bottom now. Christy's going to take this right to the end. So with double coming up, wonder if it's one of those luck HOHs. Wonder if it's like throwing the dart. Anyone could win at that point, and then here we go again.
As we talked about on the round table, it actually matters because they've switched it up in the past where like the HOH was physical, like a skills competition maybe, or a luck competition. And then the veto was mental. If that happens, then I don't favor Jackson.
No.
Because he doesn't know his days. He doesn't remember what happened. But I don't think they will switch it up. I do think that the veto will probably be more clown shoe physical tomorrow. And Jackson would probably be the favorite for that.
Okay.
Right. Well, see, I think like HOH and veto are all going to be like luck because it has to go so fast. They have to rip through this. And I feel like it's going to be like, here we go. Write down your number. How many times did Mickey say the word watermelon? 2,200. You know what I mean? Like I feel like it's going to be a shot.
9 million. Yeah. I feel like traditionally it's some sort of a mental competition for the HOH part of it and then a physical veto. I feel like that's
what it's been.
That's sort of like the blueprint, but who knows? They might end up mixing it up. So we will be live after the episode 10:15 p.m. tomorrow night to break it all down. Sam, could you also, have you been in touch with Bella outside of the house?
I do. I was actually just texting her at 8:59.
Okay. How's she doing?
Yeah, How's she doing? She is doing good.
Yeah.
She's figuring out what she wants to do with life. She wants to figure out where she's going. She's waiting to find out about finale with the whole Nick situation. Right. So there's a lot going on. I love Bella. Me and Bella are pretty much best friends. She's friends with my wife. She was here about 2 weekends ago. She's staying at our house for the weekend. So right now, me and Bella, out of all the house guests, me and Bella are definitely the closest right now. And runner up is David. Me and David talk about once a day. You know, we're going out to Vegas together. I love David a lot, and I haven't said this too. If you were watching the feeds, you saw that me and David almost like came together with like a final two when he was in the house. But again, it didn't make the show, so nobody really knew. But I love David a lot. I have a lot of respect for him, and so I touch base. The people I talk to the most are David and Bella. I like them a lot.
Does Nick have a shot with Bella when he gets out of the house?
Conversations and questions will arise.
Yes.
So I'm waiting for finale.
Okay. He said, I can't wait to get out of the house so I could kiss her little face.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good luck with that.
Maybe he could kiss my face instead. I don't know.
Okay. All right. Bella's going to say, I will pray for you, Nick.
Yeah. Hope he finds the love he's looking for.
Hope he finds the love somewhere. Somewhere. He's looking. He's looking for it.
No, I want to talk to Nick too, because I still really, really like Nick.
He shouted out in the diary room a couple times.
He did.
Yeah.
And he did the diary room with the Send It, which he did the correct way in his own voice, which got a lot of respect for. And then he shouted me out in his eviction speech. I love that guy. So I know I'm going to be friends with Nick outside the house.
Okay.
So I can't wait for a finale, because a lot of conversations are going to be had. I'm going to be having a conversation with Christy, because I want to air that crap out.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have a conversation with Nick and everybody else. And I'm so looking forward to finale. It's going to be fun.
Sam, how do you think Nick is fitting in this jury house with Jack and Sis and Kat?
Yeah. I don't even know. Like, because a lot of that was game. When I noticed, like, him cuddling stuff, that was like his social game on that aspect of it. So, yeah, and jury, who knows?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, hey, because at that point, you're not really playing a game. You're just being friends with everybody and hanging out. So, judging from what I know from Nick, he's probably just hanging out, doing his thing. Like, hey, all right, you know? So that's why, like, I have a lot of questions for, like, from jury and stuff too. At finale, I want to know what everything's like.
Okay.
And, so conversations are to be had.
All right. And then you're going to be part of the big Vegas extravaganza?
We are. I was sort of teetering on that. I wasn't going to go to Vegas, you know, because I was like, eh. But then I figured, now with the finale being over, like, hey, this is my last shot to go hang out with the rest of the crew. Here mm-hmm. we go. Make memories, make bonds. I've never been to Vegas, you yeah. know, so
oh,
hey, I'm all about it now. This is going to be fun.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I agree. It's a once in a lifetime thing. Go there, have yeah. fun. Like, when are you ever going to have the chance to do this again? When
right.
you come off a reality
right.
show, all you guys feel great, and you know everything's so raw and new. And go to a place like Vegas, have a great time. It'll
right.
be memories that you'll think
right.
yourself that you did for later in the
right.
future.
Sure. And especially too, like, since I'm a married man, I'm never going to go to Vegas ever.
Right.
There's no reason for me to go to Vegas. So this is my one and only shot. Get her done. Let's do this.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
So I know there was a lot of questions in the chat. How's the family doing since you're back?
I missed my boys and wife so much. Like, it was killing me in the house, not seeing pictures of them. When you sleep at night, I'm not kidding you. When I would sleep at night, I would dream about the boys and the wife, like normal stuff, whether it be shopping with the boys, whether it be going to TGI Fridays, my 5-star restaurant with the wife,
mm-hmm.
like stuff like that. You wake up thinking like, oh, like I just dreamed about that last night. So your mind goes into like freaking a spin mode of just remembering everything of your current life. So being home now and not having to sit in Jerry and like making memories with the two boys, they missed me tons.
Yeah.
There's videos of them watching me on TV. The wife missed me. Like, I'm loving being back home. Like,
you'd be pulling your hair out in the jury house. That I know it stinks to go out early, but you know, one week later, I think you'd be worse off.
Oh, I definitely agree. And I said this the entire time. I did not want to go to jury. Jury's not for me. If I was going to play the game, I was either going to win it or I was going to get evicted out before jury. Jury's not me. So when I got evicted, fine. Peace out, Cub Scouts. Like, get me out. Like, it's fine. I did not want to go to jury. But then after I will watch, like, a little bit of, like, little jury videos, like, the pool, that looks pretty freaking cool. Like, I kind of want to swim in the pool. But, like, hey, in the long run, it is so boring and time-consuming being in the game. Because, I always said this, like, with how real it is, you know, we work during the week, and we get weekends off. Saturday and Sunday come, we're off, we're having a couple beers, we're good to go. In the house, you wake up on Saturday, it's game on. You wake up on Sunday, it's game on. Every day is game on. It's very, very exhausting. And you wonder, even though you're irrelevant in jury, you're still kind of keeping friendships. You're still trying to be friends with people you don't like. And there's mm-hmm. people in the Big Brother house you don't like, but you have to be friends with them for the game. So in jury, it's the same exact thing. You can't be you can't shut someone out in jury just because you don't like them or prefer their friendship. Like, you still have to play the game in jury to a certain level. And that would just be like exhausting to me. So I'm very, very happy I did not go to jury. I'm good. I'm good with my boys and my wife.
Sam, the chat's asking, have you looked up Johnny Mac yet since you've been home?
I did. I just texted Johnny Mac last week. So well, we only live like 20 minutes apart.
Right. You can hear each other from your house, right?
Oh, if I yell at the window, send it! You would hear Johnny Mac yell, send it! Yeah. Right back.
Yeah.
So I talked to him in Florida when we were at the,
Hearts Kids
the World. We exchanged phone numbers, did the whole thing. And the one night we were supposed to go out when Bella was in visiting for the weekend, Johnny Mac was supposed to come out to the bar too. We're all going to hang out because I like Johnny Mac's personality a lot. So
he's
a good guy.
Okay. All right. Let's talk a little bit about what's coming up here on the podcast. American Ninja Warrior is going on. Check out what Taryn and Lee have to say about the latest episode of American Ninja Warrior on our Rehap Up over on the Rehap Ups feed. Then we also have... Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast. Brent, I know Melissa blurted it out the other night. Did you happen to catch the Royal Rumble yet?
I did. I loved my intro music. Yeah. I thought it was fantastic. I thought it was like, this is a computer generated thing. And yet like Taryn came in right after me coming for me. Of course, yes. It came for Lee.
You guys were like cats and dogs in the
room. I know.
If you don't know what we're talking about, we had on Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast where my co-host and I spin a wheel of user submitted ideas. We had a Royal Rumble, which was created on a PlayStation 2 wrestling game. Of all of the Rob is a Podcast hosts coming into the ring, everybody with intro music, and it's up on YouTube. If you go to robiswebsite.com/rumble, if you want to see that. Sam, do you have any idea what we're talking about right now?
None. I'm just trying to smile and wave.
That's fine.
That's good, Sam. You learned
very fun. All the LFCs in there if you want to check that out. The latest episode of the Purple Pants.
There we go. You have my attention.
Yes. Bryce Isaiah is joined by Wendell Holland as they now have come out with the Hot Girl Summer 2020 Women's Calendar. Check that out on the latest episode of the Purple Pants podcast with Bryce Isaiah up in our Rehap Ups feed. And then Matt Hoffman is the first ever guest on the Summer of Stein. Had a lot of fun. Myself, Matt, and Eric, we were cracking ourselves up. Honestly, I don't know if it's a good podcast. It was almost like you guys got to listen to a conference call between myself, Matt, and Eric. We were dying. If you like that sort of thing, check that out on the latest Summer Stein with Matt Hoffman. And then we did a fake Survivor season. Sam's like, what is this podcast? What is
mind is blown.
Mind is blown. Did you watch the show Lost, Sam?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, sorry. But do you watch Survivor?
Yes, okay. I do. That's why I'm actually, me and Rick Devins text each other here and there.
But another good guy.
I love that guy.
Yeah. So go ahead and if you want to see us simulate a season of Survivor with the cast of Lost, check that out on a podcast we posted earlier this week. And then over on News AF, myself, Danny, and Tyson talked about the Flamin' Hot Cheetos movie and much more on the latest News AF. And then Taryn will be back to get you ready for Double Eviction Thursday on the live feed update. Check that out at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific. And then Caitlin will be back. Brent, maybe Melissa might be here in the studio as well tomorrow night.
I have heard that. Melissa said that she was going to try to join Caitlin in the studio tomorrow, and Taryn will be in the live feed spot. So everybody but me will be on the Double Eviction tomorrow, and I wish you guys the best of luck. It should be fun.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun on Thursday night. And then 1 week from Thursday night, Sam, we're going to be live in New York City to do the podcast. That's too far of a hike for you, right?
Well, since you're asking, since I'm a truck driver, I drove New York City for 4 years, like internal New York City with Tractor Trailer. It's not fun. So Tractor Trailer is New York City is my sort of thing. So New York City is only 2.5 hours, three hours. Sam, so it's not that bad.
If you could make it out there next Thursday night, we're going to be live about 250 people. Myself, Brent,
a good time.
Taryn, Eric Stein, Caitlin is going to be there. So it's going to be a great lineup as we watch next Thursday's episode of Big Brother and then do the podcast live on the audience. We're going to stream it as well for those of you guys who are not going to be there in attendance, but it should be a fun night. I know that I don't want to I know it's a drive, but if you can join us, we'd love to see you.
Hey, I would in a heartbeat. You never know.
Okay.
Never
All right.
know.
All right. That's next Thursday on the 12th. Of course, all this is made possible by the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast. The people that love this crazy reality TV stuff as much as you do, go ahead and check out everything that we're doing in our patron community, our patron-only podcast feed, and much more as we've got everything going on with Big Brother, getting ready for Survivor in the fall on robhasawebsite.com/patron. Sam, this was so nice to get to catch up tonight.
This was. I had a blast. I love doing this stuff. So thank you for having me, guys.
Yeah. And Sam, where could people check out all of your stuff? The shirts, the cameos, the tweets.
All right. So I'm new to Instagram. I never had Instagram coming up this entire time till I was on Big Brother. I just started Instagram. So everything is on Instagram as Sam Smith, BB21. That's my thing. I just got verified the other day. Very exciting. So find me on Instagram, Sam Smith, BB21.
Wow.
I know. It's legit now. When you get that little blue check mark, woo, buddy. I love it.
Yeah. Wow. That's very impressive.
Send it!
Yeah.
Send it!
Okay. All right. And then check out those cameos from Sam. They will bring Definitely. A smile to your face.
They will. And I love doing them. Every single one is personalized. If you give me what to say, I will take that and I will stretch the truth. I love it. I love doing them.
Stretch the truth. Okay. All right. Of course, Brent is on Twitter. He is at @OneLuckyGay. Anything else coming up for you, Brent?
No, I'm looking forward to the double eviction tomorrow. I think you guys are going to have a great show. I'm excited. Anybody like Rob, we rarely get stuff like this.
I know. We're sucked in and we're due for Cliff going home.
I don't believe that's going to happen. I really don't. Small chance of that happening. I think it would take a specific scenario for Cliff to go home tomorrow. I think it's more likely.
This is going to be the opening to the Thursday night podcast. What you're saying right now.
We'll see. I've been wrong before. I remember there have been times where I'm like, what the hell just happened?
Yeah.
They
call that manifesting the truth, bro.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I still think Tommy and Chrissy more likely to go home tomorrow. Jackson, my power rankings, and Cliff and Holly are right there. Nicole is safe, though. I don't see. There's no freaking way Nicole can go home tomorrow, so we should be fine.
Okay. All right.
Yep.
We'll see. All right, Sam. Thank you again. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
This episode of the podcast is sponsored by our friends over at True Car. Every car comes with a share of stories that ding in your bumper when you nervously picked up a first date, or that luxury package you got after a big promotion, or the mileage you save by riding your bike all summer long. While you can't put a price tag on your stories now with True Car, you can at least find out what your car is worth when it's time to sell it or to trade it in. Just go to True Car and simply enter your license plate number. Watch how your car's details pop up. Then answer a few questions. Navigation and moonroof, watch as they bump up your car's value. High mileage? You already knew it was going to cost you, but now you'll know how much it's going to ding your wallet so you can plan ahead. And once you're finished, you can get a true cash offer sent in minutes, which you can take to a local certified dealer to cash out or to trade in. So when you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out True Car today. True cash offer is not available in all areas.